92. Bump me down just a tad more. Am I too loud back there, Brother Tony? Just down, Brother Wayne said down just a bit. That's probably good right there. Psalms chapter 92. Look at one verse of Scripture. If you've been around here a long time, you've probably heard this before, but smile and say amen and pretend like it's brand new. Amen? I forgot about this message. Hadn't preached it in a long, long time, I don't think. And Lord, yesterday, just put it on my heart. And I just want to try to be an encouragement and a help to you tonight. And let's look at the Bible. Psalms 92 and verse number 12. Psalms 92 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." Now, let's stop right there. As I look around and I witness God's people, not just here, but as I travel, it seems like the righteous are not flourishing. It seems like the unrighteous are flourishing. I've got a newspaper clip Sister Yvonne brought me this morning in my jacket pocket right here. And this seems like to be the crowd that seems to be flourishing today. We've got a new church down in Carrollton called the Grace Cafe Church. A new church for those who don't do church. No sanctuary, no pews, coffee shop. And as you ride down the road and you look at these massive buildings these people are building and you wonder, and they got all the ungodly music and they don't have a Bible, and you wonder, why aren't the righteous flourishing? Amen. Amen. Did you know at one time, and this ain't got anything to do with the message, I don't think, but did you know at one time that the largest church of any kind in the state of Georgia was an independent fundamental Baptist church? Did you know that? I'm talking about a church with standards. I'm talking about a church with a King James Bible and a bus ministry. Yeah. Forest Hills Baptist Church, Curtis Hudson, largest church in the state of Georgia. Did you know I could name you state after state after state after state that at one time the largest church in the state was an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church, but not anymore? Anybody know what the largest church in the state of Georgia is now? Creflo Dollars, World Changer. I'm losing my cough drop. World Changers Ministries. A bunch of pie in the sky, power of positive thinking. If you're saved, God wants you to be a millionaire. Yeah. Amen. Why aren't the righteous flourishing like the palm tree? Let's finish reading the verse. He said, "He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Tonight I want to give us some things that maybe will help us flourish when we remind ourselves of who and what we are. Kind of in the direction of the way I was going last Sunday, the devil loves to get his thumb on our neck and make us think we are less than what we are. And I'm talking about children of God. Inside you, that is in your flesh, Paul said, there's none good. There's nothing good. Amen? Ain't nothing good about you, but if there's a God inside you, you're a whole lot bigger than the devil's giving you credit for. Amen? Your ability is a whole lot farther down the road than you think it is. Amen? Why? Because with God, all things are possible. I still serve a great, big, and mighty God tonight. Somebody help me and we'll have... Hey, I said I still serve a great, big, and a mighty God tonight, and He's still able to use His people. I don't care if the NIV is gained in popularity. I don't care if contemporary music is the only popular music. Hey, Jesus was the most popular. Hey, you listen to me tonight. Jesus still worked, and Jesus still used people when people were killing Christians. Amen. I'm just here to tell you, I believe we can flourish. In a bad economy, I think we can flourish. Amen. In a bad economy, I think we can do something for God. In the last days, I think we can do something for God. Hey, Brother Jonathan's coming here, probably just a matter of weeks, 6-8 weeks away. Brother Jonathan McNeese will be here. He thinks he's coming for 3 days. I'm praying God won't let him leave. I'm praying that thing will get on and God will bring revival in the city of Villarica, Georgia. Amen. Amen. He said, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." You may have heard this message years ago. I preach on the evergreen. And we're going to talk about the evergreens. The scripture we've just read here tonight speaks of a specific kind of tree, and that is an evergreen tree. Now, you preach this message up north, they ain't got a clue what you're talking about. You go to the north in the wintertime, it's brown. That's everywhere you look, it's brown. There's no color anywhere. But in the south, thank God, The Lord loves the South, Miss Shelley. He does. God put evergreens in the South. Amen. So we got color year round. Hallelujah. The evergreen. We're going to talk about them tonight. They're a special kind of tree. I've learned some things about the evergreens that I believe will help us all to understand who we are and what we are. And we'll try to make a spiritual application about these evergreen trees. Amen. The evergreen tree is from a family called gymnosperms. There are over 700 different species, but they come in seven classes: pines, firs, cedars, cypress, juniper, myrtles, and palms. And listen, all through the Bible, he talks about palms, he talks about cedars, he talks about the cedars of Lebanon, and he likens us unto a palm tree or a evergreen tree. In other words, it's a picture of faithfulness. Amen? Amen. It's a picture of consistency. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Pine trees like them that we got around here, they ain't all that pretty, but they're consistent. Yeah. Amen. They're not all that pretty, but they're consistent. Nobody uses them to build fine furniture, but they're consistent. Yeah. Nobody says, I want the finest kitchen cabinets made from pine. Nobody asks for that. Amen. But they're consistent. Amen. Thank God. Boy, wouldn't it be a miracle if we had some Christians like that in the day we live? Go to Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms chapter number 1. If you'll listen quick, I'll try to preach quick. But I've got a feeling this one won't. Psalms chapter number 1. I hope you're familiar with this scripture right here. If you're one of those who starts to read your Bible through every year, you've read Psalms chapter number 1 many times. You know, if you get a little Old Testament, a little New Testament, a Proverbs and a Psalms every day, I know you've read this several times. Amen. The Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Watch this. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen, this is talking about an evergreen tree. Tonight, just right off the bat, I want to talk about the marvel of the evergreen tree. You know, it's just really absolutely a mystery what makes them stay green all year. And what it is their sap doesn't fall in the wintertime. It stays up year round. In other words, that sap is what makes the leaves green and what makes the needles green. And that's what it's like. This thing is talking about an evergreen tree when he said his leaf does not wither. And let me tell you what's the marvel about the evergreen right here in Psalms chapter number 1. The Bible said he wouldn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. Let me say it again. The Bible said an evergreen, the evergreen Christian wouldn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That one that's planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf shall not wither. He will not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. We got too many people listening to too much trash talk out there. Amen. I like the old Brother Timothy Fleming in Atlanta. I've got a tape of him, Brother Dennis Hollis gave me years ago, and he talks about people listening to snake talk. He said Eve got in trouble when she started listening to snake talk. Y'all remember in the Garden of Eden when he said God hath not said? He said she was listening to snake talk. Well, we got people listening to snake talk in our church tonight. Amen. You're getting ungodly counsel from ungodly people. Hey, listen, man, watch where you get your advice. Amen. Don't listen to this. Well, bless God, if that was my husband, I would. It's not their husband. Don't pay them any attention. Listen, people who want to offer you their advice without you having asked it, you probably don't want to hear what they have to say. Amen. Unless it's somebody like your pastor, assistant pastor, Sunday school teacher, who you know loves you and cares for you and are concerned for you, and they come up and say, can I give you some advice? Then take that. That's godly counsel. But this stuff out on the job and this stuff yak-yakking on the Facebook and all that, hey, brother, watch out for that ungodly counsel. It will mess you up every time. Amen. Ungodly counsel has split up more marriages. That's right. Y'all listen to me? Ungodly counseling has busted up more churches. Churches are busting up. I read some statistics just this afternoon. They said that over 4,000 churches will start every year. Over 4,000 churches will start every year worldwide. Guess how many close? 7,000. Doesn't sound like we're gaining ground, does it? Now, some of those that start, I wish they never had. But there's some good churches that start that the devil tears all to pieces. Amen. Y'all help me tonight. Ungodly counsel will mess you up. You got some friends that you need to unfriend. Is that what you call it when you get rid of some, kick somebody off your Facebook? You need to defriend them. When they start running down people and they're running down your church and they're trying to advise you about this and about that, you need to just click them off. Hey, listen, an evergreen Christian will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Why? Because it affects you. You say, well, that's just my friend and I know how they are. It affects you. If you hear it, it affects you. If it goes in here, it's getting here. Y'all okay? Ungodly counsel will mess you up. Listen, a church split never happens overnight. Just like a divorce never happens overnight. It builds and it builds and it builds. Something gets in and it digs in and it gets a root and you don't even know it's there. That thing begins to grow. It's a process. It takes time. Ungodly counsel will get inside you and begin to grow. Amen. Did you know people who give ungodly counsel are most times convincing? Amen. Just like with Eve. Man, that old serpent, buddy, he was convincing. He said, oh, no, God just knows you're going to be as wise as him. Was she? No, it was a lie. It was a flat out lie, but buddy, he made her believe it. Y'all all right? You know what that was? It was the first ungodly counsel mentioned in our Bible. Ungodly counsel will mess you up. The marvel of the evergreen. He won't walk and he won't sit in the ungodly counsel. And you know what? He won't sit in the seat of the scornful. Amen. Amen. Listen to me carefully. Evergreen Christians won't walk in ungodly counsel. He won't sit in the seat of the scornful. Boy, that'd be a marvel if we had some Christians like that. Good, that'd be a marvel. That'd just be wow, man. Somebody said, if somebody come and told me, I found a church where nobody criticizes anybody. It ain't this one. I've yet to find one. Brother Philip said there's a church in town here somewhere that calls itself the perfect church. That's a good sign that ain't where you need to go. Because they've got something figured out, and if you go over there, you're going to mess it up. Yeah. Amen. Really, what they don't know is they don't have the perfect church either. I'd be the first person in the world to tell you Happy Valley's not the perfect church. We love God, and He loves us. Amen. And we love sinners. That's about all I can tell you. Amen. But we are a bunch of sinners ourselves, and we still make mistakes every day. But listen, be careful about sitting in that scornful seat. Be careful about pointing your finger at others. Because 9 times out of 10, those that you're accusing, those that you're running your mouth about, that thing's coming to your house. It won't be long, that thing will be in your living room. And then they'll be talking about you. Amen. Well, bless God, if that's my kid, I wouldn't. Be careful. Be careful. I've raised 3, I know. That stuff, I remember when mine were 2 and 4. It's easy. It's easy to look at them teenagers running around the church going, yeah, if this one ever does it, I'll break his stinking neck. I guarantee you this, and I'm going to train him better. He won't never. Help me up there, Levi. Amen. Amen. Be careful with that scornful tongue. Be careful about sitting in that scornful seat. That scornful seat was a seat to set up and to examine somebody's life and to find the fault in it. We've got people in church, they think that's their job. God's called me to tell you what's wrong with everybody. No, that wasn't God, friend. That wasn't a call from God, friend. It was a call. I believe the devil calls just like God calls. I believe he impresses in the mind just like God impresses in the heart. You can mark her down, son. God will plant you here to be a troublemaker. Don't be looking around to see who it is. Ask yourself, is it you? Amen. I'm not looking for troublemakers tonight. I'm just making dead sure one of them ain't me. And I know churches where the preacher's the troublemaker. I got a preacher on my mind right now, instigates more junk in his church than you can shake a stick at. I thought, what an idiot. What's the matter? You scared people are going to get saved and your church might grow a little or something?
Yeah.
Amen. And brother, you can mark it down. If it's going on from the pulpit or in the pulpit, it's happening all over that church. Everybody's pointing at some direction. Amen. Just remember, when you're pointing like that, you've got three coming right back at you. Amen. The marvel of the evergreen. He won't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He won't sit in the seat of the scornful. Boy, we'll never perfect that in this flesh, but we ought to shoot toward it. We ought to shoot toward it. I preached one time, your ear is not a garbage can. Did you hear? No, la, 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 la. I hate hearing junk. I hate hearing junk. I like it when a preacher handles it this way. I just heard about a preacher recently who failed and went out into an immorality. But a dear preacher friend of mine, one of my closest friends, he said, you know brother so-and-so, don't you? I said, yes, I do. He said, pray for him. End of story.
Amen.
Now, inquiring minds would go, oh, what happened? Yeah. Ain't none of my business.
Right.
It's not any of your business either. It should have been just left at pray for him. And with me and my close friend, that's where it was. Pray for him.
Amen.
They're from the same state and they're close, not real close, but close enough by. They know what's going on in one another's church. And he knew. And he didn't tell me. He didn't say a word. He just said, you pray for him. And I knew from his heart that's what he meant. He wasn't trying to spread gossip. And I didn't ask. But no sooner. The next time I was out preaching on the road, somebody came up to me and just blurted out, did you hear brother so-and-so? Before I could even stop them, they done told me. What was the difference? What's the difference in those two? One cared about the guy. Let me ask you, listen to me now. The other one cared about the guy. The other one's doing more to harm him. If I make a mistake, it doesn't help me by you knowing it.
That's right.
Are we okay?
Amen.
If you make a mistake and you mess up big time, it doesn't help you to get up by me knowing it.
Amen.
I don't have to know everything you do wrong.
Amen.
If we get to that point, I'm going to take his coat off and turn it around backwards, okay? And we'll turn them little bridal rooms and mother's room back there, we'll turn them into closets. We'll cut some knot holes in them. Y'all come back there and whisper to me. Y'all okay?
Amen.
I'm not wearing a dress.
Amen.
I don't have my collar back on. But I have an altar and I have a Savior that you can come and tell your faults and your failures to. And it'll go no further than this right here. Did you know, as far as I know, there's not a sin that I have confessed to the Lord that he's repeated to somebody else.
Amen.
Ain't nobody ever come to me and said, you ain't going to believe what I saw on Jesus' Facebook.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness right there?
Amen.
Amen. That's who you. Hey, if you really want somebody to pray for you, that's who you need to tell.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Somebody said, telegraph, telephone, tell a friend. If you want the news to get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I told somebody in confidence. That's where you messed up.
Yeah.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Everybody going to tell somebody.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying if you tell me something in confidence in my office and I'm trying to help you, I don't even go home and tell my wife. She'll tell you that.
Amen.
Unless she's included in the counseling. I don't dump stuff on her.
That's right.
I want her to love you.
Amen.
Like I do. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all okay? But listen, when we hear gossip out here, if we're not careful, if it comes in here, it's probably going to come out here.
Amen.
And when somebody repeats something you told them, don't get mad at them, get mad at yourself. Because it's your fault for telling it.
Amen.
We okay?
Amen.
The marvel of the evergreen. He won't sit, walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He won't sit in the seat of the scornful. Well, that'd be a blessing. I read years ago about the giant redwoods and sequoias out in California. I've seen those. Anybody in here ever seen those trees? They are absolutely unbelievable. Seen them on TV. We didn't go to the one where you drive through that Redwood National Forest, but we're close enough to it, just out the other side of San Francisco. San Francisco, that's where we was. And But you should have been there that Sunday I preached in that church. I said, it's good to be in San Francisco. They didn't even smile. But anyway, you drive down the road and you see one of those things, and it's like one of them deals, like an aircraft carrier. You can't fathom that till you walk up beside it. These things are humongous, biggest trees I ever seen in my life. But I read about the giant redwood trees and the sequoias. They said that they have a high resistance to fire, battle, and disease. They don't let everything affect them. Amen. We ought to be building up. The Bible said, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith.
Amen.
I heard a message preached on that scripture one time by Brother Sammy Allen right after I got saved. Best message I ever heard concerning that scripture. Building up yourselves upon your most... Our problem is we've got too many weak Christians. You see, the longer you're saved, the stronger you should be. The less stuff should affect you. Are we okay? That's what's amazing about them. You know what they said about those giant redwoods? Said it's almost impossible to kill them. Our trees here in the South, they get those beetles in them and they eat them full of holes. There is something built into that redwood and that sequoia that resists that. Did you know a bug won't even barely land on a cypress tree? They say the number one, if you're building a log home, the number one wood to use is cypress. Why? Because them boring bees won't nothing touch it. We need some people of God like that. Amen. That the little bugs don't get to. Hey, usually we stand together in the big fire. When the big deal comes, we band together and we pray together. It's them little bitty, little bugs that come. They come on my back porch every year. I've got 4x4 posts on my back porch. You can sit on the porch and listen to them. Amen. They're eating my house.
Yeah.
Literally, that's what they're doing. I mean, I thought, man, they just boring a hole. It'll be all right. And I thought, what if they bore a whole bunch of them?
Yeah.
There ain't going to be no posts left. They're eating my house.
Yeah.
What do you think the devil's doing to this place?
Yeah.
We need to build up a resistance to that. And I'm glad I can tell you I practice what I preach. Amen. When I first started preaching, all I cared about was who liked me. All I wanted to do was impress him. Honest, that's a God's fact. I thought, oh, Lord, let me win that man. I want him to like me. It took 18 years. I'm still working on it. I'm kidding, Brother Charles. If anybody loves me, that man does. Amen. I can prove it. He's sitting right there. Amen. As I grow older, whether you like me or not, I want you to. It doesn't matter quite as much as it used to. I wanted all the preachers in town to like me. Doesn't matter anymore. All I want to do is help somebody. And I'm sure not going to let some little nagging critter come at me. And they come in here, you can count on it. Amen. They come in here, you can count on it. You would not believe some of the stuff I hear that people in this church get upset about. Grow up.
Amen.
And I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm just being honest. Toughen up. You're not going to make it anywhere. You know what you're going to be if you even make it this far? You're going to be one of those people having church in your house by yourself with your wife and kids, because that's the only people who can stand to be around you. And if they'd be honest about it, they ain't crazy about you either. Amen. Amen. I can name names of people who are doing that right now. They can't find a church that's good enough for them. And it's happening all over this country. They have a little living room prayer meeting on Sunday morning. That's about as big as a joke of anything I've ever seen. Hey, Jesus instituted the church. I ain't saying you can't have church in your house. You can. They did it from house to house in the New Testament. I'm not against that. Hey, but God give you a good local church, man. This is a place to come and help reach sinners. Don't get caught up in the little bugs around. Build up a resistance to that. You know what I do? We hunt deer hunt every year, and our bow season comes in very early. It's still summertime when our bow season comes, and it is hot and there's mosquitoes that big. Amen. And we used to douse ourselves down in bug spray before we'd go climbing that deer stand. You ought to douse yourself in Holy Ghost before you come to church, before you go to work. You know what it does? It repels the bugs. Now I've got this little machine. I forgot what you call it. Thanks, Stacy. Thermocell. I don't know why it works. It's got a little gas thing you plug into it and a little filter-looking thing. It's got repellent on it, and you mash that thing, and it comes on, that heats up, and it puts a wall around you, a diameter. It circles you all around, and you can literally watch. It's amazing. You can sit in your deer stand, that thing laying on the bottom of your deer stand, and you can watch the mosquitoes. You can see them come, and they just stop. It's like, they're going to come so close to you, they hit that shield. Y'all stand with me, I'm going somewhere. Y'all remember Job? Y'all remember old Job? The devil came before the sons of God, and the Lord said, "Where you been, man?" He said, "I've been walking to and fro in the earth." He said, "Well, what's up?" He said, "I can't find one." He said, "Have you tried my servant Job?" He said, "Yeah, but I went over and checked him out, but he's got one of them thermocells." He said, "I can get close enough to look at him, and all he does is sit there and make faces at me." He said, "And I know you done that. You got that hedge around him. If you just let that hedge down, cut that thermocell off where I get in there and get at him." Are y'all getting this? As God's children, we ought to have a something around us protecting us from that kind of junk. Boy, I sure am getting hung up. There's more points to this, but you need to get this one. I'm poking you, but I'm not penetrating. I want it to stab you in the heart. Amen? When are you going to get to the place when you don't worry about what people say? Listen, as you grow up, people are going to say dumb stuff. Do you understand that? Okay. See if he'll get that at this age. He won't blow out when he's your age. There are people forsaking the grace of God, the power of God, the work of God, the word of God, all because something they heard. And you know, half the stuff you hear ain't true. It just ain't even true. Even when somebody says they heard that somebody said something about you, if you believe that for a second, you deserve it. And you get back to the source and say, if you're spiritual enough, let me say that again, if you're spiritual enough to do what the Bible says and go to the source, not the one who heard from a friend 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 who read it on Facebook. If you're spiritual enough to look them eyeball to eyeball and say, "Brother, we got a problem." It'd blow your mind how many times I've had this happen since I've been saved. "What's the matter?" "Well, I heard that you said," and they go, "What?" "That's right. Yes, sir, brother. That's not what I said." And you're done worked up to the point because you've heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who saw it on Facebook. And now you're done convinced in your mind that this is what they said, and you're ready to get this thing, get it on right now. Let's get this out in the open. Let's get it settled right here and now. Yeah. Bless God. Yeah. And they stand there flat-footed, tell you the truth, and swear to you they didn't say that, and you're still mad. I'm preaching tonight. There ain't no doubt about it. And if y'all get this, man, it'll change your life. It'll literally change your life when you get to the place like these redwood trees where the bugs don't bother you. Amen. My granddaddy used to say, "Let it roll off your back like water off a duck's back." You ever tried to wet a duck? I had a Labrador retriever. They got their hair on their body is hollow. Hardest dog to wash in the world. You squirt the water hose on them and it just rolls off. We need God to put that in our lives. Amen. We need God to give us that thermostat to keep the mosquitoes at bay. Because you're not going to kill the mosquitoes. You can forget that. Did you know I watched on the History Channel that the state of Georgia used not to have mosquitoes. America didn't have mosquitoes. The government brought them over here for some stupid research. Well, there's government for you. Anyway, you're not going to kill them. I live in a swamp. There ain't nothing you can do. Spray down if you're going outside. If you're going outside, listen, if you're going to leave your home, ever, if you're going to go to Walmart, Walmart is the nation's capital for gossip. I'd soon to get in my truck and drive to Rockmart where don't hardly nobody know me. Y'all okay? There's more intimate information shared in the aisles of Walmart than you can shake a stick at. Hey, yeah. It'd blow your mind how many times I heard, Brother Eddie, I saw somebody at Walmart the other day. Wait and go late at night when all the weirdos are up there. Amen? They have a great resistance to insects. And this is the reason they say that it's due to their old age. Due to their old age. I guarantee you these two men right here, make it these three men. I'm not putting you in that same category, Brother Sam. But these three men right here, they're older men. I guarantee you things bother them less now than what they used to. They're to the point in their life, and I'm quickly reaching that point where you're just thankful to be here. I'm serious. You're just thankful to be here. Just thankful to still be saved by the grace of God and have a good church to go to. Amen. Amen. Let me give you some more facts about the marvel of the evergreen. I started to bring a pine cone out of my yard and show you tonight. Let's see, where'd I get to? The pine cones, those little wings that come out like that. Do you know what's at the end of each one of those little wings? It's a seed. The seed's very, very tiny. It's the part that when you get in a pine cone battle, it's the part that makes the red marks on your arm or your chest, wherever you get hit. Amen? Somebody help me that had pine cone battles, brother. Amen. That's fun, ain't it? Especially when they're green. Amen. You can tear somebody's hide up with a green one. But that seed is just that little bitty speck, that little sharp point on the end. You know what that wing is on it for? When it's time, that pine cone opens up, and it'll drop some of those wings off of it. And that wing, what a picture of the Holy Spirit. It floats that seed to where it needs to be, that a new tree can grow. Isn't that amazing? You know, that's the way it ought to be around here. We ought to be dropping seeds and praying the Holy Spirit would get it where it needed to go. We always pray, Lord, help us knock on the door that somebody needs us. Help us knock on the door. God, you go before us and prepare the hearts of the hearer. You know what that is? That's the Spirit flying the little seed where it needs to get. Amen? Amen. We've knocked on doors, and I walked up in the yard one day, and a lady said, I told her what church I was from. She said, I cannot believe this. I thought, uh-oh. I said, what is it, ma'am? She said, me and my husband just prayed last night somebody would come by and invite us to a good church. Boy, what a coincidence. They said when the fires come, California gets those big forest fires. They said when the fire comes, watch this, when the fire comes, that pine tree or that redwood or that sequoia, that every pine cone will open up automatically and drop every seed on it. Watch this. And the seeds are fireproof. When the fire comes that is to destroy the forest, the trees reproduce themselves. Somebody help me tonight. Hey, when the fire comes that are trying to destroy us, we ought to drop every seed, man. Amen. That are fireproof. The devil, he cannot destroy the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God's like little bitty seeds scattered all around, some in the road, some in the weeds, but everywhere you look, you find little bitty seeds. Amen. You know what's said next? After the fire, the squirrels come. And they pick up those seeds and they scatter them all over the forest. As they pick up some of those pine cones that still got seeds and they're carrying them things around, they're dropping seeds. The Holy Spirit is the wind that floats that seed down. When the fire comes and all those seeds fall, them squirrels that come and scatter them around, that's us. Amen. We've picked up the word. We ought to be running around scattering the seeds all the way around. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Now listen to me. Now watch this. Watch this. Here's the most amazing thing. This evolved. That evolved. Tell me there's not a God who knows how to make a tree that when danger comes, it can reproduce itself automatically, man. Brother, that's a miracle right there. Amen. That's creation. That's creation, brother. In order to get us excited, amen. Here's another marvel of the evergreen. Have you ever, if you lived around here all your life, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say, have you ever watched a pine tree or a pine limb when it's scarred? Have you ever noticed that white stuff that comes out and just covers it over like a scab? You know what that is? It is a scab. It is a scab. When a pine tree is scarred, the sap will come out of it and harden over it, nullifying the sower, and it just keeps on growing. Now listen, as a Christian, I have some scars, but there's something inside me. This is why so many Christians, I believe, blow out. There's nothing inside them. When they get hurt, there's nothing inside them to heal the hurt. You say, and you think some of them are lost? Probably a majority. Could be. I don't know. I'm not to judge them. But I know I've got something inside me. Over 18 years of pastoring the same church, you think I ain't been hurt? You're a nut. But there's something inside. The Lord just oozes it out, scabs that thing over, and we go on for God. Amen. You say, yeah, but you get hurt so many times you just can't. Oh, hush. How do you think Jesus felt? Go ahead. Hey, fella, you forgot my feet. Y'all okay? There's one more nail to go, boys. Come on, let's get it done. I got some sins to bear. I done had one nail in this hand. I got one nail in this hand. I just don't know if I can take any more. When you get to the point you can't take anymore, compare yourself with him. Get your Bible and go to Gabbatha where they beat him. Get your Bible and follow him up that Via Doloroso road as he carried my cross and your cross. Get your Bible where they platted that crown of thorns and beat it with a reed down on his head. Y'all okay? Get your Bible and read where they beat him to where his visage was marred more than that of any man. You know what that literally means? It means that you could not only tell who he was, you could tell what he was. He's a piece of meat hanging on a cross. Amen. You can take it if you've got God in you. Amen. You can take anything anybody says. You can take anything anybody does. What got quiet on me right there? I'm here to tell you can. Why? Because I have. And you can go on and you can continue to grow for God just like these trees. Amen. The marvel of the evergreen. We still doing okay tonight? Yes, sir. You should notice not only the marvel of the evergreen, but I want you to notice the medicine of the evergreen. The medicine. They have a healing agent. Over 800 kinds of medicine are made from evergreens. The myrtle, the guava, the eucalyptus. How many of you growing up? We don't have one now, but growing up, we always had, Mama, what the eucalyptus plant in the kitchen. Anybody know what that was for? Burn. You get burned, you break that thing off, and old snot-looking stuff came out of it, and you rubbed it where you got burnt, and it healed that burn. Isn't that amazing? That came out of an evergreen, friend. Amen. Listen, an evergreen has a healing agent, and you and I should be like Jeremiah chapter number 8, that balm in Gilead. We ought to be a healing agent instead of a hurting agent. We'll let God use us to help heal the hurts in others instead of pushing them down further. Amen. Listen, the Lord tarries, we're going to have more teenagers mess up. Not excusing it, I'm just saying it's going to happen. And you're sitting there going, bless God, not mine. You better hold on to your seat, friend. It may be. It may be. Brother Alan Parker's sitting here tonight. He just caught my eye. I remember when he wasn't in church. He was raised in church just like these boys are. And boy, he went out there and got out in the world. Thank God God got him back. This year, don't think your kids are above it. Don't think you're above making parental mistakes that'll cause it. Amen? But boy, when they get down, they ought not to be the talk of the town. Ought not to be. Let me say it again. Ought not to be. God put them in our lives to be a help. Can I say it again? I'm looking around this room tonight at people that grew up in this church. And if I told you some of the stuff they've done, what do you do when they mess up? Well, I help them best I can. And I pray for them best I can. Sometimes you got to punish. It's part of it. Amen. I probably still got scars from mama's hickories and belts. Amen. You all right? This church ought to have a healing agent. Beat up, drug down Christians, sinners, either one, ought to be able to come in here and find some help. They ought to be able to come in here and find some help. Let me say it again. They ought to be able to come in here and find some help. Amen. This not shouldn't be a place where a guy comes in and he's all tatted up and he feels like everybody's staring at him. Amen. You got tattoos too. You say, no, I don't. Oh, yeah, you do. Amen. A tattoo is nothing but a scar from your past. Amen. We just can't see yours. What if we could? You'd probably like to be one of them people where it's a sleeve. It's their whole, y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Looks like they're wearing a multicolored shirt. Yeah. We can just see theirs, can't see yours. Amen. Y'all all right? Yes, sir. There's a healing agent in an evergreen. And there ought to be a healing agent in us. Amen. Did you know they said that 1 acre of planted pines can produce 6 tons of oxygen? There's probably not 2.5 tons over the entire city of Atlanta. Wow. We ought to be a breath of fresh air. Amen? We ought to be a breath of fresh air. Did you know why the number one deodorant or deodorizer, of course now I know they got every flavor and scent in the world, but for years the number one deodorizer, you know what it was? Pine. If you put a deodorizer in your car, it was a little pine tree that hung off your rearview mirror. Amen. It's a breath of fresh air. It's freshness, man. When people get around us, they ought to go, man, I feel better for being around this crowd. Amen. I know sometimes we come in and the preaching might be a little bit on the rough side, but hey, that's good too. Amen. People ought to come in and feel like, man, I feel good for going. Amen. Hey, you know what? Friday night, it's been a long time since I've done anything like this. You just get busy and wrapped up and everything else. But I came up here early Friday and stayed all day long. I had a plumber come and fix the leak out here. I stayed all day long, and we hung out with these guys, and Miss Stacy and Rusty and Jason and Daphne, and Michael stayed with us forever. And we got a guitar and beat on that thing, and we laughed at each other. And we just had a good time. You know what that was? That was a breath of fresh air. You know what we didn't do? We didn't talk about anybody. Not in a bad way. We may have had fun at Joe's expense. I'm kidding. He was there too. Amen. Well, we did. We had a good time. As long as I was here, it wasn't a gossip session. I'd have put a stop to it in a heartbeat, but it wasn't. We were just enjoying the fellowship with one another. Amen. That's what it ought to be when we come to church. It's not where we come to dump our issues on everybody else. We'll just come to church and fellowship with one another. Amen. Have a good time. Amen. Be a breath of fresh air. You ought to be a breath of fresh air where you work. Yeah. I wonder if some of the people you work with would be shocked if they found out you was in church today. I wonder if they'd be shocked if somebody told them, you know, so-and-so's a Christian. What? Come storming in the shop or the office, wherever you work on Monday morning. Who got all the coffee? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yo, grouch. Be a blessing. Make a fresh pot. There's an old man, he's retired now, worked with me and Brother Clint worked. I worked there for years at Douglas County Board of Education. But that coffee pot was important. Maintenance men got there. I mean, that's number one tool of the day, coffee. Amen. If he come in, somebody got the last cup of coffee, he'd throw the fit. Whoever made this, whoever drank that last cup should have made a fresh pot. Well, you're standing there, dude. Y'all okay? Why don't you be a blessing? Why don't you be friendly? Amen. Why don't you be friendly? You know those people that come into work singing? And you go, I hate that guy. He can't be that happy in the morning. You don't hate that guy. You envy what he's got. Amen. Well, I'm just not a morning person. Fake it. Be a blessing, man. Amen. You ain't got to be a grouch. Amy's back there poking Alan. Amen. I'm helping you, brother. Amen. We'll have the altar call in a minute. The marvel of the evergreen. The medicine of the evergreen. Let me give you another one. The motive of the evergreen is simply a picture of faithfulness. The motive of the evergreen is just to stay green. It's consistent. The others, they're pretty for a while. But then the leaves begin to fade. And they begin to fall. One of the most celebrated things anywhere and around the country is dying trees. I preach in Gaylord, Michigan in October. And you talk about the place looks like it's literally on fire. They're not like us. They don't have any pine trees. It's all hardwoods. Maples and I don't know what all. Some of the prettiest leaves. When them leaves color, they change color. Now all that is that tree's dying for a season. Yeah. Amen. That tree's dying for a season. But you go back to that old ugly pine tree, it's still just green. It's still green. Its motive is to stay green. Its motive, years ago when I first preached this message, we had a tree in our backyard that had fallen over, a pine tree. It blew over. It had been laying there a year. Did you know the needles on that tree were still green? It was still green. Why? Them roots were still touching. Them roots still had some dirt in them. And it was still sucking up the water and doing its best to stay green. You said, well, I've been knocked down. Well, just stay rooted.
Yeah.
I've been blown over. Stay rooted.
Yeah.
Just stay rooted. Our motive is to stay growing for God.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a picture of faithfulness. When everything else dies, it stays green. It defies gravity. Its sap don't fall. Its sap don't fall. I know some Christians whose sap has failed. You understand what I'm saying? I know some Christians whose sap has failed. Up in Pennsylvania, the syrup business is big up there. And this is the time of year when, the fall is the time of year when the syrup business is booming. Now watch this. When you start dying as a Christian and the Holy Spirit starts leaving you, stay with me. The vultures will be there. They're there with buckets and hoses, and they set up lines all around them forests, and they tap them trees, is what they say. They knock a hole in it. And they're wanting to drain the life out of them. They want to catch that sap as it falls. Listen, the devil's got a crowd out there just like that too. When you start to show weakness in your Christian life, when you start to show that you're getting away from God a little bit, they'll be there to capitalize on it. They'll be there to capitalize on it. When your people you work with see that your spirit's changed, they'll start inviting you to places you normally don't go. Amen. Our motive is to stay green for God. Listen, let me give you another one. The mystery of the evergreen. Not just the marvel and the medicine and the motive, but the mystery of the evergreen. Did you know they say that the wind has less effect on it than all others? Especially in the wintertime. Why? Because it's still limber. It's got something flowing inside of it. It's not dried up. Amen. I can go to a dry, dead church and I have to be very careful. And I know with the first 10 minutes I'm there whether or not I got to go to a church next week that I've never been to before. The first thing I'll do is take the temperature of that place when I get in. I know it during the congregational singing. When they sing that first hymn, I know what I'm dealing with. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm just preaching enough of them I know. And a lot of times I'll find myself sitting there in the pew and I'll go, here we go. And you got to be so careful what you say. So careful. I don't like to go in another man's pulpit and make a mess. I try not to. I wind up doing it a lot of times, though. Because they can't take anything. They can't take any. You can't even make fun of Joel Osteen in them places. I'm serious, heart attack. Independent Baptist Church, you can't even make fun of Joel. Oh, I can't believe he did that. I was preaching in one church. I did this right here. You could hear a gasp. He stepped on the Lord's Supper table. Half that church didn't come back the rest of the week. For this. This one used to be covered in glass, by the way. Till I did that one Sunday, amen. Look, what I'm saying is they're so dead and they're so dry and there's no life in them that they can't take anything.
Yeah.
A little wind, a harsh word, a little hard preaching, preaching on sin, anything. They can't handle it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm like, get a grip, man. I was preaching in Rochester, New York after 9-11. 9-11 happened in September. I was there in February. I told a joke. A joke. I said they arrested a woman at the airport today because she had knitting needles. I said they was afraid she'd knit an Afghan. That's funny, right? I mean, that's a funny joke. Man, there was a youth pastor, a leader. Had 20-something teenagers with him. Brother Allen made them stand up and march out in the middle of that meeting. Who was a bigger spectacle, me or him? People can't take anything because there ain't nothing in them. Ain't nothing in them. All these nuts in Atlanta crying over the tomahawk chop. Y'all remember that? Stupidest thing I ever heard. One of them, one of the ringleaders, claimed to be a preacher. If the Reverend Jesse Jackson is a preacher, I'm a polar bear. I'm going to get all off here, right here. You know why everything bothers them? Ain't nothing in them. But the wind can blow, and that old pine tree is like, me and my wife were sitting on the porch the other day, and the wind got to blowing, and all you could hear was, she said, what is that? I said, that's all them trees ain't got nothing in them. They creaking because they dry. Amen. You ever heard them, Brother Jason? Old tree, it'll creak and pop.
Yeah.
The more evergreens, they got something fluid on the inside of them. The mystery of the evergreen. You know what they said? And I can't prove this, but I'd like to do a little test one time and check it out. They said the ice melts off the evergreen before it melts off of any other tree. They said, when we have these pines, ice storms around here, they said the ice will melt off the needles of the pine tree before it will the branches of the oak tree. Why? It's got something inside it. It's got something inside it. You know how what you do to keep your water from freezing? Come on, y'all help me. You crack that water and let that water drip. It keeps something moving. There's something flowing on the inside. Woo! I said there's something flowing on the inside. Somebody help me just look. There's something flowing down on the inside. And when the chilly winds blow and when the dry spells come, hey, the faucet's cracked on. Good God Almighty, and you still got a little drip in your step. Amen. Thank God for that thing that's on the inside. Hey, it ain't sap in us. It's spirit, friend. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that lives inside me. I give you 10,000 reasons to quit. So as I start voicing them, there's something inside me going, but. Remember when the old prophet said, that's it, I'm done. I ain't preaching this crowd no more. I ain't preaching another lick. That's it, I'm done forever. But there's something burning down inside here. There's something shut up in my bones. You know what that was? That is the spirit of the living God, friend. And that thing ought to be moving in us. it's not flowing in you, I'm not saying you're not saved, but you may be a real good candidate for revival. By the way, you ought to go ahead and purpose in your heart to be here every night. Amen. I got some brand new folks coming to sing that y'all ain't never heard, and we're going to have a good time. Oh, I promise you. I promise you. This one little couple I got coming, their kids, it surprised me if Jonathan gets to preach. There's certain people that I meet out on the road, and I think, man, if my church, and these people sit around and go, amen. I thought, son, if they start doing that at Happy Valley, it's on, brother. Amen. Hey, don't let the issues of life, the circumstances in your life, dry you up as a Christian. Some of you are a lot drier than what you used to be. Amen. Some of you every now and then do like that. Clap your hands, something nods your head. You do something. But now you do nothing. Man, Levi was singing that song. It's the first time I heard that. That's one of his new ones. He sung that song about Simon Peter a while ago. Brother, I'm telling you, it got so good it started running out my eyeballs, man. I was like David. My cup was running over. Amen. And you sit there and claim to be saved and just... That's pretty good. No, it's real good. It's real good. That you're as wicked and as sorry and dried up and dead as you are, and he still loves you. Yes, yes, yes. Woo, son, that cranks my truck, friend. I don't know about you. That's good stuff. Yes, hey, man. The mystery of the evergreen. Go to Isaiah chapter number 41, and I'm done. Isaiah chapter number 41. That's after Psalm and Proverbs, okay? Isaiah chapter number 41. I want you to notice the majesty of the evergreen. Man, I wrote this outline when I used to could see. No, I wrote this outline when I really wore glasses. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 41 and verse number 18. 41:18. The Lord said, I'll open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I'll make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Now watch this. He said, I'll plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shita tree, the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box together. Watch this, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to find me a desert spot. I'm going to find a dry place, and I'm going to put in that place. He talked about that water. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, and after that water, I'm going to start planting all these trees. What kind of trees were they? Evergreen. Every one of them. Every one of them. Wasn't a fruit tree in the bunch. Every one of them was evergreen tree. Why am I going to plant all these evergreens? Why? So they may see it and know that the hand of God hath done this. Why did God put us in a place called Villarica, Georgia? That the world may see it and know that the hand of God hath surely done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm not bragging on us. I'm just saying when we come to town, Villarica knew it. Wasn't all positive. It's getting better, though. I'd get to talking to people, just at merchants in town here. I'd get to talking to people in store, and I'd say, you go to church somewhere? Yeah, we go over so-and-so. Where you go? I say, Happy Valley. They go, oh. Have you ever got that? Oh. Yeah, oh. Yeah, that's us. Oh, that's right. That's us. That's us, amen. Yeah, we're the cult down there on the corner. You got the right bunch. We drink Kool-Aid every Sunday night and play with rattlesnakes. That's us. That's bad when you hand out gospel tracts and preach a little bit. You're a cult. What they don't understand is we're doing what their church used to do. Anybody gives our people grief for preaching on the street or handing out gospel tracts, they got a fish on their trunk. I want to rear end them. Bless God, I ain't on the radio. Yeah. I do. I just want to ram them. Take that, fish. Well, I got that fish on my trunk. I want to be a witness. I ain't never seen anybody on the side of the road repenting because they saw a fish on your car. Oh, there's a fish. I got to get right with God. Help me, Lord. Now, I'm not saying you're bad if you got a fish on your car. I'm saying it's supposedly Christians that don't like what we do. But God said, I've set you in the place. Why? That they might see. God doesn't want us closet Christians closed up in these four walls. He wants us in the community. He wants us meeting the people and knowing the people. Why? So they can see what God has done. I think God takes great pride and glory in men like Jason Crow. Why would God use a nut like that? Him and Jack Patterson are twins. Or he's Jack Patterson's baby brother. They're just alike, man. They are. That's the way they go, man. That's the way they talk. When you listen, I wish he had a speed button on him. Slow down. Brother Jack called my house. I get off the phone. My wife said, who is that? Brother Jack, what'd he say? I ain't got a clue. Brother Barry Ferguson told me the other day, he said, I need an interpreter to talk to him. Brother Jason, same way. Old has-been, crackhead, yeah. Meth dealer, home wrecker, life ruiner. Won't you hear that testimony tonight? Yeah. I believe God's saying, see that tree I planted? Yeah. I believe God put him in the right place. I believe God sent him to the right. You know, there's some churches, if they'd have sent him to, they wouldn't have wanted that testimony. Oh, no. Don't tell that kind of stuff around here. And sure enough, don't start inviting addicted people. Our church, you'll ruin our image. Your image is already ruined. You just don't know it. We know what you are. Amen. God wants to get glory out of our lives. People come in here and they say, preacher, you don't realize what I've done. You don't realize what he can do. You don't realize what he can do with a bunch of old messed up folks, man. Woo! Can you imagine the first time Paul preached? I'm talking about a murderer of Christians, a hater of God's people, and he stood up to preach and the people went, that's got to be God. That's got to be God. I told y'all the other day, first time I stood up to announce that I was a preacher in a meeting, Shiloh. The family visiting from Florida this morning, they go to a church where I preach down there every year, and they said, we met a man who said he knew you, and he told us a bunch of stuff. I said, who was it? They said, Chip Beall. I said, oh, no. Oh, Marvin's going, mm-hmm. That was my first principal at Victory Christian School. They asked for all the young preachers to stand up and tell what church they're from, and I was sitting on the front row at Shiloh. And I stood up, and I said, I'm Eddie White. White Oak Springs Baptist Church, and that Chip Beall sitting in the back, he busted out laughing. Me too. Jay too. It's amazing. God's put us in this place to show forth his honor and his glory. Not for us to stand out there and say, look what we've done, but look what God done. To God be the glory. Great things he hath wrought. Yes, amen. Amen. To God be the glory. I'm having a good time tonight. Yes, sir. Isaiah chapter 55, and I'll be done. Are you evergreen or a nevergreen? Are you in your molting period right now? If we look around, are your leaves pointing toward God, giving him glory, or are they laying dead on the ground? Find out where you are tonight, amen. Isaiah 55. I'm in 47, and it'd help if I'd keep going, wouldn't it? Isaiah chapter number 55. Look with me at verse number 12. Isaiah 55. He said, for ye shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, Hey, this is coming. You got to understand this. I'm talking about the majesty of the evergreen. Instead of the thorn, you remember what that was, don't you? That's a curse. That's part of the curse from Genesis, right? That's the fall of man, the sin, that's the curse. He said, but I'm going to replace that thing. He said, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Listen here, friend. Jesus is coming. You know what he's coming after? He's coming after some evergreens. Be planted around his throne. Give honor and glory to him forever and ever and ever. Listen, it's an honor to be an evergreen for God. It's an honor to get to speak up on his behalf. It's an honor. It's an honor. Don't be afraid. Let people know what you are. If you really are. Amen. The marvel of the evergreen. It don't walk in ungodly counsel. It don't sit in a scornful seat. We still there tonight? Amen. Hey, it drops its seeds and lets the Holy Spirit lead them to where they need to fall. When it gets cut, it has something inside it that heals it. Amen. When you get cut and you get hurt, and you're going to. Preacher, we're not mad. We're just hurt. I had a dollar for every time I heard that. And pay his place off tomorrow. Where's that thing that's supposed to be your healing agent? You need to pray the Holy Spirit would help you. Amen. The marvel of the evergreen. The medicine of the evergreen. Are you being a help to others or a hurt? Ask yourself that question. Who have I been a blessing to lately? It's a decent question to ask yourself. Who have I been a blessing to lately? You know what you ought to do? You ought to purpose in your heart. Hey, probably looked around. You probably noticed somebody wasn't here today. I could probably give you a list. But you call somebody this week. Amen. Not where were you, bless God? Are you backslid? When people are backslid, asking that question hurts them deeply. I don't know if you knew that or not. And we do it in such a joking way around here, but we don't realize sometimes we hurt people. Why? Because that's really the truth. And they know it all better than you do. You okay? Hey, let me tell you what, go a whole lot farther. Hey, man, I miss you. I just wanted you to know I love you. I'm not poking in your business. I don't even want to know what's going on, what's been happening. I just wanted you to know I love you. You know what that is? That's medicine, friend. That's a good dose right there. That'll go a long way. That'll help people. You know somebody who's down and struggling? You ought to go get them sometime during the altar call or during the singing. Say, hey, will you come pray with me? Make it like it's you that needs prayer. Y'all all right? Be a blessing to somebody. Stop by Walmart. Buy 7 or 8 cheap cards. Drop them in the mail to somebody. Just wanted you to know I was thinking about you. Don't be mailing them to opposite sex, please. Keep it right. Keep it right. Keep it godly. Y'all okay? Use your Facebook to be a blessing. If you're going to have one, get God some glory out of it.